This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
Girl, you make me dumb, 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 dumb.
Finally, someone's admitting they're dumb. Stupid, idiotic, ridiculous, absurd, outright dumb. I was thinking in my corporate life, I could never talk that way.
I have listened to your proposal, and while it has merit, I can't support it.
Now on the radio, I can say it outright. You're a freaking idiot. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And that, my friends, is the overarching definition of my week that just went by. It's been dumb. I'm so frustrated. I've been on the phone a lot these days for my consulting practice. Most of the people are young and inexperienced. That's why people in the know seek me out to ask me to help them. Frankly, that's why more times than not, they just want me to tell them what to do. No one seems to know how to get things done at the moment. But let's be politically correct. It's not that I want to pick on the young people, and inexperienced for that matter, because they don't have a clue. What I really think, you want a little honesty here, at the risk of sounding older and criticizing the next generation? It's not just them. It's got to be the people who are training them. Those people got to be idiots. Everybody needs to be mentored and shown the right way. Everyone needs to be taught. But the nuances, the special knowledge that comes from those who are smart and those who have been there and done it, it's missing. I'm astounded with the lack of knowledge in industry. I've often said I want to work with people who make me struggle to be value-added. In effect, they're so good at their craft, it's hard for me to give them help. They're so well-trained. They don't need me. And once again, I've said it. I don't know whether I'm smart. That's for others to decide. But I know I'm well-trained. Question is, why is it so easy for me to contribute? Today, no one seems to understand the critical issues. No one seems to be thorough in order to anticipate the unintended consequences of their actions. No one, frankly, seems to be smart. I'm astounded by the idiotic, dumb, stupid week I just went through. And while I had plenty of other things to talk about, I have no choice. I happen to believe some good will come out of tonight when I compare and think about people and companies acting dumb. My question is, did everyone take a dumb pill? I think I'm a genius in my field. Yeah, I know. That sounds like I got a big ego. I get it. No, it's not that. It's just that I seem to have more information than everyone else around me. Am I working harder? Am I thinking smarter? Smarter, perhaps. I'm very quick. There's no question about it. But I promise you, it's just too easy to be smarter than everyone around me. When my hair started turning gray, I wondered whether I'd still be relevant. Interestingly, after 9 years at Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, I hadn't told anyone, but I intended to reinvent myself, author and radio talk show host. Relevancy in fashion and luxury, I figured, no longer mattered. I was climbing new mountains. I didn't realize young companies would hire me for my knowledge. Go figure. I was developing writing and hosting a radio show and podcast, Always in Fashion. But I got fooled. I had to continue to stay current and involved. Who knew? I should have known. I know that curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity makes this cat still interesting. The fashion, retail, luxury industries, yes, I would be an observer, a commentator, an advisor, but I needed to be expert again, and I never planned for it. That aside, I'm on the radio, and when I talk about dumb, I can't help but talk about dumb in radio. Now, I have to admit, ego aside, I'm astounded by how backward radio seems to be. It seems to me that every radio company of consequence has been bankrupt, and it's so hard to break through. I'm in my fifth year, and I'm thankful. This is Thanksgiving week. I'm thankful, and I'm also thoughtful. But if I have to be honest with myself, did I miss in this arena? Am I slaying the dragons? Do I miss being a gladiator? Yeah, because I can't seem to get where I want to be in radio. I'm doing this for almost 5 years, and I'm still not syndicated. Now, I can go to any company today and still be a CEO. I won't miss a beat. It would make me smile, but I don't miss it. I don't miss the people. I'm on record. I'm not a fan of humans. I don't miss the work either. After a time, it becomes the same over and over. Strategy, product, marketing, sales, delivery, and then you start again repeating over and over. I don't miss it. I don't miss the travel. I went around the world many times. I walked the Great Wall in China when I was younger than my co-host, Jesse. I conducted large corporate negotiations when I was in my 20s, all on my own, with no oversight. But what do I miss? I miss the intellect. I was surrounded by brilliant people, financial people, bankers, lawyers, strategists, operators. At PVH, where I was a CEO, we had a group of 26 people. Every one of them was super smart, but six of the 26 were kind of brilliant. At Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy, everyone operates in every corner of the world. Hands-on, stores, businesses, from publishing to shipbuilding to fashion. Champagne, everything you could think of, wine and spirits. These are brilliant people, and everyone I met was brilliant. The problems, by the way, that LVMH had to encounter were different than anything I ever saw before, but I was surrounded by brilliant people, and I learned from them, and I was so appreciative of it. Champagne, here's a good example. I mentioned champagne. There was not enough champagne in the world. How could that be, one might ask? Well, champagne is made from grapes grown in the Champagne region of France. All the grapes were being utilized. They were making them into champagne. Champagne had to take a while to ferment, so it just didn't come overnight. There wasn't enough champagne to satisfy the appetite around the world. So what did LVMH do? They got their people involved. They went to the government and asked the government to extend the borders of the Champagne region. It's fascinating. One street ends, and across the other street, there are more grapes, the same grapes growing. We're talking about going across the street. But because across the street is another region, you can't call it champagne. This is what they had to deal with. Crocodiles or alligators, don't hold me to which, are very carefully farmed group of animals. The byproducts, of course, is crocodile and leather. Every company in France now who's in that business is building and buying farms to grow crocodiles for their product. Pretty crazy. Watches. Chronograph watches. Those watches you see with the three dials, those gizmos require special production. Zenith, owned by LVMH, used to make all the gizmos for Rolex until Rolex didn't buy them from Zenith anymore, and Zenith had to supply all the gizmos for LVMH. Brilliant people. If you listen closely to this show, you'll learn how I got here. It was curiosity and desire. I've had success because I always wanted to learn. I was more curious than you, more curious than anyone. I took notes on everything. But if you had to present to me, you best be ready to answer a million questions. I would grill people who came into my office. Sure, I was interested in the answer, but I was more interested in how you came to the answer. That's how I would grow. That's how I would learn. Lao Tzu, very famous philosopher in China, not here, but you know what he said. I'm going to tell you. You give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. Don't give me anything. Just teach me. And I want to fast forward today. I had a week from hell. You can imagine how dumbfounded I am to listen and see the lack of expertise that exists all around. It seems as if all the logic is superficial. It's all duh. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had where the other end, the people look like they're getting caught in the headlights like a deer. Duh. Why? Duh. Have you considered? Duh. Have you spoken with? Duh. Did you check with? Duh. Simple, obvious stuff. The knowledge base doesn't exist anymore. Lots of opinions, nothing to back them up. Often wrong, never in doubt. I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining, but I am doing an explanation of how we got to tonight's show. If you don't understand the history of the automobile, the combustion engine, our reliance on fossil fuels, and the dependence on foreign governments, if you're not aware of the negative impact on the environment, why would you care about electric cars? If you don't understand that clothing protects you from the environment, a shield against all elements, keeping you warm in the winter, cool in the summer, what would be the alternative? Walking around naked. You need info. You need historical content. You need people with expertise. And you need to care enough to question and learn. I'm shocked. Frankly, I'm shocked at how much knowledge is missing throughout the corporate operating system. We've all heard there are no stupid questions. I beg to differ. I get them every day. In fact, I wonder, did everyone take a dumb pill? Speaking of dumb, my son... My co-host and lawyer, Jesse Weber. Jesse, I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm just going on here.
What? What is that? I don't like that. Okay, hold on. You had a tough week, huh? Is that what this is about?
I'd say the quality of the questions and dialogue that has come to me, politics, if you're watching, nauseating, talk about dumb pills.
Well, wait a second. You complained a lot about radio. I thought you liked the radio.
I love radio. I love being on radio. I love being on radio and podcasts. But I wonder whether the management of radio stations, if they tripped over. You know, you used to accuse me. If you came to me with an idea for a computer, I'd tell you nobody wants a computer. Well, I found the thinking in radio very short-sighted. And don't get me started. I can't believe we're not syndicated. Hey, those of you listening, you love this show, either call or write the station and tell them that they ought to syndicate us. This is ridiculous. Anyway, don't get me started.
All right, well, that I agree with you, but you sound very upset. And I'm starting to think, is this about me? I mean, am I frustrating you this week? What?
All right, you're asking, if you and your brother would put a touch of preparation into the questions that you come to me, maybe my life would be simpler and less stressful.
Oh, come on. Wait, hold on, all right? I'm done with school. You're not a professor, right? You're our father. I have to do a PowerPoint presentation before I speak to you?
Okay, duh. Listen, Jesse, maybe, just maybe, if you learn how to prepare for me, you'll be prepared for the rest of the world. Maybe you'll be prepared for whoever you have to deal with. This is your father who loves you. It's tough out there.
So this part of the show tonight, this is dumb pills. This is about me. This is about us.
Let's say it's not about you or your brother, but you guys inspired me.
You know, Mr. Perfect, you're not perfect at all, okay? I'll put it back on you. When have I asked you a question that made no sense? Huh? When was a time that I needed to prepare for something and I needed to give it more thought? Because I can't think of anything like that.
What do you know about taxes? What do you know about bank accounts? What do you know about investing in the stock market?
What does that have to do with anything?
Everything. We just had a changeover in government. Anybody who has half a brain has got to be worried about this.
So I bothered you with questions that I had about it?
No, you didn't bother me. I don't want this to be about you, Jess. It's not about you.
I didn't want this to be about me either, but you called me dumb.
No, I didn't. I said, speaking of dumb, and I laughed. I didn't mean it was you.
All right, can we get off of this?
Good idea.
You know, I will say, though, when you mentioned politics, I get that. I get the politics. How stupid are people in politics right now, or commentators on politics? They're absolutely ridiculous. Everybody's one-sided. Everybody has the right answer. Nobody will listen to the other side. Everyone's making a fool of themselves. It feels like a kindergarten playground. Everybody's a baby. I can't believe what I'm watching. These are adults. These are educated people who are acting anything but educated.
So they're passing out dumb pills in Congress, right?
Yeah, that's just one part of it. Think about everybody on TV who has an opinion and thinks they're right. And look, I hate to say this. I hate to say this. But Rudy Giuliani, let's take a step back. Back in 9/11, even before 9/11, when he cleaned up New York City, but then especially during 9/11, this guy was a national icon. He was a hero. You couldn't say anything bad about Rudy Giuliani. He was amazing. And then you fast forward these past few years and his press conference the other day when he looks like he's melting on television like Jack Nicholson from Batman. Like, remember when Jack Nicholson gets the water thrown in his face and he's melting? He became a caricature. Do you think Borat in 2006, when that movie came out, he would have dared to make fun of Rudy Giuliani? No, but now, of course, he can do it. It's a shame to see these people put themselves through that. And Trump? Oh, my goodness. This is a guy. This is a guy at the end of a soccer game who wouldn't, like, shake the other people's hands at the end of the game. He thinks he won. He thinks he won. When is he going to concede? And he has to accept it at this point. There are a lot of people who are disappointed. He had an argument. At the very beginning, he thought the election was, there were issues and problems, but he keeps losing in court after court after court. And now it's just getting to the point where you have to stop. It's looking dumb. It's looking bad.
I got you riled up, I see. You're really on this, huh?
You talk about dumb people. Yeah, you get me riled up.
Yeah, politics is a little dumb right now. I don't want to say anything about the president. You have to respect the president.
But you agree with me, right? Like, politics is dumb right now. It's hard to watch.
It's beyond dumb. That's one of the reasons I'm on this subject tonight. Listen, whether you're one of the 78 million people who voted for Biden or 74 million who voted for Trump, you're either happy or not. But either way, you have to get over it.
Wait a second. I would normally think that, and then I was hit with a reality. People who hated Trump, they never gave up the 2016 election. They never accepted it. They gave him a hard time for the last 4 years. So the people on the other side are saying, okay, why should we just fold up the towel right now?
So maybe Trump isn't so dumb. Maybe he's giving it back to them. It's his way of saying, F you. You tortured me for 3 years. I'm going to torture you for 3 months.
Well, wait a second. I'm not talking about saying if he won the election, but do they have every right to be critical of Biden and his administration? And instead of saying, you know what, let's just come together and be united. They're like, no, we're going to criticize your choice the same way you criticized our choice.
All right. Here's what I think on this whole subject, because I really didn't expect to talk about politics. But how can you not when you're talking dumb? I've said it before. I'll say it again. I like the Democrats on social issues. I lean to the left on social issues. But on economic issues, I am 100% Republican on the right. I was a CEO. I clearly understood that what that entails. You earn profits for the shareholders. That's why they buy your stock. You're responsible. You know excuses in business. You deliver or you get terminated, fired. Your job is to make money. That's why you're in the industry. You're there to help the industry, to create jobs. More people working, the better the country. Jobs bring the obvious, money. Money to live your life, to feed your family, to educate your kids. That's so obvious. Jobs also bring dignity. I want to take a moment and stop here while we're talking about this and play a clip from you, from the movie Dave, about jobs.
Have you ever seen the look on somebody's face the day that they finally get a job? I've had some experience with this. They look like they could fly. And it's not about the paycheck. It's about respect. It's about looking in the mirror and knowing that you've done something valuable with your day. And if one person can start to feel that way, and then another person and another person, then pretty soon all these other problems that we're facing may not seem so impossible.
You have to admit, Donald Trump and the Republicans were focused on jobs. We had the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And now the Democrats are coming in and they're changing everything. Like everything he did economically was stupid. No, he's not stupid. Maybe you're dumb. This week, I received something in the email that I have to play for you because it makes a point about our economy. Let me play this. You're going to get the point about the Democrats and what they're doing.
I have resigned myself to the fact that Joe Biden is our president and that our taxes and government fees will increase in a big way. To compensate for these increases, our prices would have to increase by about 10%. But since we cannot increase our prices right now due to the dismal state of the economy, we will have to lay off 60 of our employees instead. This has really been bothering me since I believe we are family here, and I didn't know how to choose who would have to go. So this is what I did. I walked through our parking lots and found 60 Biden-Harris bumper stickers on our employees' cars and have decided these folks will be the ones to let go. I can't think of a more fair way to approach the problem.
So, my friends, there is a dumb pill out there right now, and that's why I'm focused on economics. If we aren't careful right now, we're going to get what we wish for. Less jobs, less economic growth, and a very unhappy country. I thought that was hysterical, by the way. And while we're on politics and dumb, the Democrats, with all due respect, are they taking dumb pills? Let's talk about college education, okay? Day one, the Democrats want to eliminate the tuition debt that so many of our young students have out there. And not just young students, all the people who borrowed money to get an education. To tell you the truth, you want to be smart? I'm not so sure we need more college diplomas. I'm not so sure we don't need more plumbers. Maybe we need more trade schools. Maybe we need to think about what we're doing. Do we really need more people graduating college who aren't going to use it? Why not invest in trades and crafts that people really want to do and need? But I'm not going there. I wouldn't have been anything without a college education. College education gave me time to grow up. It taught me a lot of things, not only things that I need for work and life, but it taught me how to be a father. So many of the questions my children ask me, even now, although some of them are not the smartest questions, but I didn't say that. But anyway, I have all this information.
You know, I'm still on the phone, right? Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not that insulted.
I belong to a country club. Play golf. Country club business is not a good business. Privately held country clubs in the hands of the members is a dying breed. And so many of them finding ways to reinvest or sell out. My country club recently sold to an investor. And what they did was they combined a number of clubs and brought it together. Now, how did they do that? Guys like me who are members, I'm paying the full amount I was paying. They froze it at a certain level. It's a little less than where it is. But new members coming in are paying a third of what I paid. Now, does it bother me? Yeah. For the same service, for the same rights, why am I paying three times more than a newcomer? For the greater good. I get it. For the greater good. And now we have a club that just might survive. But let's go back to schools and educations. Because I prepared for this one. I sent my children to the University of Michigan. Why? Why'd you go to the University of Michigan, Jesse?
Well, it's a great school. It's amazing. It's very high rated. My older brother Jared went there. He loved it, and it was great.
Uh-huh, and you couldn't go to school in New York?
Well, I applied to top schools in New York. I got accepted to Michigan first, and after that happened, I didn't look at any other schools.
Well, my friends, if we're going to be asked to pay for students' education, and I won't argue that perhaps everyone should be able to go to college for free in this country— Perhaps. I don't agree with it. It's the responsibility of parents to save for their children's education. I did for mine. You did for yours. All these loans out there, why is that on me? But I'm going to come to that. You want me to get started? You want to talk dumb? I pay so much money in school tax right now on Long Island. Tons and tons of money for school tax. I don't have anybody going to school. Why doesn't people that have children in school at the time pay the school tax, and when the children graduate, it goes away? But no, now you want to forgive people. Let's just make the point. I looked at the University of Michigan. I looked it up. For tuition and board for University of Michigan for out-of-towners right now is $45,000 a year. If you send your child to school in the University of Michigan, and let's assume they live in the surrounding area or they could drive or take a bus, the tuition is $16,000. If you're an upper division person, it's $18,000. Now, it's 16 versus 45,000 or 18,000 versus 45,000. The question is, why do you have to send your children to out-of-town college? Why, if it's 15,000, if you're a member of Michigan, you live in Michigan, send your people to school in Michigan. If you live in New York, send them to a school in New York. If you can go to Brooklyn College in New York or Queens College and you live in the city and the tuition is 15,000, don't you dare go to University of Michigan or any of those out-of-town schools and tell me I should help you pay the difference of $30,000. No way. So to my fellow government people, if you're going to give away money, why don't you hold them accountable and make them go to schools in New York?
Would you agree that not every college is created equal and there are better ranked schools and that's important? Would you start there?
If you want to go to a school outside your geographic area and the difference in the school per year is $30,000 more, then it should be on you. Don't you dare ask me to pay for it.
Does every state in the United States have the best school in the country? Does every state have an Ivy League school? No.
I believe every school gives a good education. Not everybody can afford to go to every school. Not everybody drives a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. Not everybody, not everybody, not everybody. I don't care what you do, but if you're going to ask me to give you freedom and pay for it, then you have to consider there's another way.
Well, I'm just saying that if the people are in a state where there's a school in that state that's not highly ranked, then you're saying, okay, too bad, that's the one you have to go to, and that puts them at a disadvantage in the job market.
Every city and every state have acceptable, good college education.
But is acceptable what they need? Is it fair if somebody's born in Massachusetts? Oh, we have Harvard.
I went to Brooklyn College, and I will put my education up against anyone in this country. I got an amazing education. And you know what's more important? I went in wanting to have a great education. The point is, I don't care what you do. You want to drive a Ferrari? Go ahead. I'll drive a Honda. You want to stay in the Four Seasons? Go ahead. I'll stay in the Hilton. I'm going to pay for it. But if the government, the Democrats, Joe Biden's administration, with Bernie Sanders, is talking about paying and forgiving college debt, my suggestion is, if you're going to do it, which I don't agree with, but if you're going to do it, freeze it at the level that they could have had if they went to a local school. Not a penny more. I'm sick of politics. I'm sorry we got involved in it, but it does make the point. Everyone in politics is taking dumb pills. I'm taking a break. I'll be back in a moment, and I hope to be a lot calmer.
Always in fashion.
Once again, the world is changing. It's not the world as we knew it, but we're back to work. Many of you are still working from home, but many of you are venturing out into the real world again, back to your offices, back to corporate life as we know it. No matter what, whether you're at home or you're now in your office, you have to look your best. I'm talking to you guys now. There's nothing more important than showcasing your look with the right shirt. I worked for Van Heusen in most of my adult career. They're one of the greatest shirt makers in the history of the world. Their collars are perfect. They understand fashion. They understand that in order for you to be at your best, you have to be comfortable. Comfortable in the way your clothes make you feel, both mentally and on your body. Van Heusen has always made great shirts, but now they make them with their Flex technology. Collars that move with you, the bodies that stretch, to make you comfortable as you sit and move around. Van Heusen shirts. Shirts for men. They're the best at it. You can find Van Heusen shirts online at vanheusen.com, JCPenney, or Macy's. Good luck. I tell you what, you want to get somewhere in your career, you should be thinking about buying those shirts.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber. Don't be stupid.
I'm dealing with dumb this week. Might not be the right thing to say, it might not be politically correct, but I must tell you there's so much dumb surrounding me. I don't think I'm dumb, you decide. But I got people talking to me, I can't take it, and everything I look at, everything is dumb. I'm struggling with people in the world. COVID, let's just get this out of the way. Can we stop the baloney? I was going to call it something else. Can we stop it? It's spreading like crazy because people are breaking the rules. No one seems to care. They're doing whatever they want to do. I want to scream. Blame the government. It's too easy. No one wants to say it. We're spreading the virus. No Pence, no Burks, no Fauci. No one's saying it like it is. They're all being politically correct. Why is it so hard to say? Particularly now. You got Trump defeated. Yeah, you're still crazy. It's so dumb. We are spreading the virus. It's not the government's fault. None of you are listening. Now, I don't know whether you all took dumb pills or were just crazy. Jesse, what is the definition of insanity for an insanity plea?
Oh, good question. This is a really good one.
Are we insane or what?
Well, there's a thing in the law called the McNaughton Rule. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I have not.
Well, it comes from 19th century England, and it's what our basis of the insanity defense is. So under the law, everyone is basically presumed to be sane, right? Makes sense. So in order to establish insanity, you need to show that at the time of a crime, the person actually had some kind of mental disease or defect, and this person either didn't know what they were doing, or they did know what they were doing, but they didn't know that it was illegal or wrong. And courts across the country apply this standard in their own ways.
Well, thank you for that. Very legal jargon. Thank you, I think. I'm besides myself. I think we're all insane. I think we're all crazy. But of all things, what got me started on this whole subject of dumb? I'm at home. And it started with shopping online. I love shopping at home. I never realized how great it would be. No question the ease of which it happens. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm thumbing through my iPad or my phone. I say, you know, I need a something, whatever it is. I know a brand, whatever, a product. And I go out and I buy it. It's at my fingertips. And it's really, truly amazing. But particularly now I'm home, I look forward to it. I look forward to the delivery. I'm like a little kid seeing presents under the Christmas tree and waiting to open them. I also love the surprise, by the way, when it comes in, what it feels like. I get to try it on if it's apparel. I get to play with it if it's something else. I really love it.
Wait a sec. Does that include you spraying the boxes with Clorox?
Oh, I hate that. I hate that. But I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate the smell. It's with me all day. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's on my list of top 10 things I hate, but I'll say for the purpose of this conversation, I like ordering things and I'm excited about when they come. I have a question for you now. When you order something, when do you expect to get it?
Usually I would want it the next day, ideally.
But if it's not the next day, you're okay with that?
I want it as soon as possible. I expect it in a few days.
Well, I have a story I want to tell you. It's about dumb. And in this case, it's a company that's dumb. But I have to start because I'm really not in a bad mood anymore. I got politics out of the way. I want to start with something from Seinfeld. It's about taking a commitment and making a commitment. Let me play this for you.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. See, you know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them.
You're good at taking the reservation, you're just not good at keeping it. Well, in this case, it has to do with home shopping. I came across a brand called Naked Cashmere. My other son sent me a link to it, and in it, lo and behold, they have these sweaters. For me, to buy anything, it's tough. I am so discerning. I have such a peculiar window of opportunity to sell me. Because like you, I have everything I need.
You're telling me, I've bought you so many gifts over the years, I think they're still gift wrapped. You never opened them.
Most of them I return and I didn't even tell you. To get through my radar, because I have everything I need, I have to really want it. I came across this brand, and I am a tough customer, and I found spectacular. I have what's called the look back rule. I don't know if I've talked about this in a while. I have a thing called a look back. It's kind of like guys when they date, meet someone, you walk away and turn around to see if they're looking at you when you walk away. If I'm going to buy a car and I look at the car in the showroom, I'll walk 20 feet away, turn around, and if it excites me when I look back at it, I want it. I bought these sweaters from this company because I have the same feeling as for fashion. I bought 5 sweaters, 3 cashmere, 2 linen. I never do that. It's not that I never do that. I'm never able to find 5 garments in a month, let alone from one company at one time. I could buy 5 white shirts, the same shirt, that's easy. But 5 different sweaters, impossible. 5 distinct great sweaters. You know how I know they were great? Because I said so. If I'm not great at everything, take a moment. I'm great at this. You know what? I want to say something. Success in life is attributable to many factors. One of which is knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses. Improve what you're weak at and you play to your strengths. That's a little tidbit for you. Back to Naked Cashmere. I'm online, I make a purchase, and I give them my credit card. And they say that delivery will be in 3 days. And for the next 3 days, I keep running to the front door, trying to go out and see if it's there. And for 3 days, nothing's there. And I'm saying, scratching my head. I'm wondering if someone stole it.
I feel like you're like a puppy who's just staring out at the window waiting for the guy to come.
But no surprise, nothing's there. To my surprise, there's no gift. There's no Naked Cashmere sweaters. And then I get an email. And that's what I want to share with you. So I placed the order on November 13th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. On November 13th at 1:10 p.m., it says, we've received your order. Thank you. Okay. Are you good at making the reservation and keeping the reservation? I don't know. So what happens? On November 16th, I get the first of a series of emails.
Hello, Mark. We know you're still waiting to receive your order, and we wanted to provide you with an update. Due to COVID-19, our warehouse has taken extreme health and safety practices for the well-being of the workplace and our customers. As our team is maintaining 6 feet distancing while picking and shipping your order, we are unfortunately prevented from meeting our usual impressive processing time. We are asking our customers to allow for an additional 3 to 7 business days for your order to process.
So I'm kind of angry because when they took my order for 5 sweaters at $875, which I think is a pretty good order, actually, I think it's a great order, they knew they were going to have a COVID problem. So I'm a little upset. Friday, November 20th, I get the next email from Naked Cashmere.
Hello, Mark. We have not forgotten about you. We wanted to thank you for bearing with us while our warehouse processes your order during these uncertain times. Rest assured, your order is next in our queue. To show our gratitude for your patience, we'd like to gift you a special code to use on your next purchase with us. We are just as anxious for you to receive your order as you are.
So now I get this email. And what started as an exciting event on November 13th, it's now November 20th, and I'm being told that I'm not going to get this thing. So I wrote to them. Yeah, I wrote right to Naked Cashmere. I said, this is not okay. There's no next purchase without a specific date of when I receive my order. I expect to hear from you. If not, I will instruct American Express not to process the payment. And then on the next day, Saturday, I get the following.
Your order is on the way.
So maybe I moved it along, and then I didn't leave it at there because it's not my nature. I wrote them the following. Thank you. If you took the order, you should ship the order. Or tell me up front you can't. But how dumb is that? How dumb is that? First they tell me they want my business, then they tell me they won't deliver. The whole idea of at-home shopping is to create a pleasant experience. Those of you who have websites, those of you who are in business, who are selling direct to the consumer, at home, or in your store, you have to remember the idea is to keep me excited, to build your brand. I am sure Naked Cashmere had no idea they were dealing with me, and that I'm on the radio, hopefully destroying them, and hopefully, more importantly, giving them a lesson in smarts. Don't be dumb. What are you, taking dumb pills? I'll take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. We're living in strange times. There's no question about it. We're regrouping. We're rethinking about what our lives look like. We're working from home. And that is a new phenomenon. What has changed is that we are video conferencing. We're being seen when we're working from home. In the past, we did our jobs when we worked at home. We called in information. We sent emails. Today, we're being watched. We're all there. We're having video conferences, and we're being seen. One of the biggest mistakes you could make is forgetting that you are in a workplace, different workplace, but you are working and you're being seen. Because you're at home, competition in the workplace has not changed. You are competing. You are trying to prove that you are special and you deserve the best that your company has to offer. With this in mind, I think about my friends at Van Heusen, one of the greatest shirt makers in our history, in our life. They've been around for over 150 years. Not only do they make great shirts, it's a given that their quality is exceptional, their fit is perfect, but they look right. When you're sitting in front of your computer and showing your image to your boss, you want to look your best. You are competing for all the great things that life has to offer, even though you're at home. It's important to be with a company you can trust. It's important to be with a company that makes products that know what is right for the times. It'll make you look your best. That is Van Heusen. I spent so many years working for the company. I know their dedication. I know how they look at fashion. I know how they look at style and how important it is. Whether you're wearing a dress shirt with a tie, whether you're wearing a dress shirt open at the neck, or you're wearing an obvious sports shirt, indicating who you are, how serious you are, how professional you are, and it doesn't matter that you're at home. With this in mind, Van Heusen, one of the great shirt makers ever, is here to help you look your best in this unusual time working from home. Van Heusen, great shirt company.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I'm so dumb, I'm so dumb, for thinking you could love me. You're so numb, just so numb, you can't feel it, so it's easy.
Well, this is Always in Fashion, and tonight's show is I'm frustrated with all the dumb things I'm dealing with. I can't tell you whether it's people, whether it's companies, what have you. This has been a very difficult, dumb week for me.
Honestly, I feel like this is like your chance to get a lot off your chest. I feel like this is a therapy session.
Well, I guess. I know. I feel a little better. But it is, you have to admit, there's a lot of dumb stuff going on in the world right now. As it relates to me, okay? I got a fun story for you, Jesse. You know, in my former life, being that this is always fashion, let's talk a little bit about fashion. I used to oversee photo shoots for advertising. I used to actually go on the photo shoots as part of my job. I was president of the Van Heusen Company at the time, PVH, which owned a lot of brands, one of which was Izod. And I love that brand. I love going on photo shoots. I love selecting the models. It was a mostly men's brand at the time. And I love going on site. This particular time, I never told you this story, Jesse. This particular time, we went to Los Angeles. We needed to do a spring advertising campaign for Izod. The problem is when you do an advertising campaign for spring, it often has to be photographed in the wintertime in order for it to be ready in spring. You wait for the samples to come in, it's in the winter, and you have to go somewhere in the winter, shoot spring. And of course, if you're going to shoot spring, it has to be warm. It was a combination of shooting golf, shooting dress shirts and neckwear in the city, and we needed a place for the beach if we chose to shoot our swimwear. And I'll never forget, we went to Los Angeles, a great place because it had a city. We did some great pictures. In fact, I'll put one of the pictures on Instagram this week, and Always in Fashion Instagram. I'll put the picture in what I'm talking about. And we went to Los Angeles. I'll never forget, they booked me in the Standard Hotel. I happen to like the Four Seasons. I like the Peninsula. I'm more in the luxury style. But they gave me pretty much my own floor in the Standard Hotel. And I'll never forget, every time I went to the bar, there was another celebrity. One night I sat next to Drew Barrymore. I believe one time we had Robert Downey Jr. I don't recall, but they were all there. And the Standard Hotel was the cool place. Probably too cool for me. I prefer the luxury anyway. But I'm on this photo shoot. And that day we went to Riviera Country Club, which is one of the two most frequented and memberships by celebrities. And we went there because they have all these trees and you can shoot as if you're in a park or you can actually shoot in a golf course. And this particular time, we had five great-looking models. I mean, each one was more handsome than next. Now, more importantly, they look great in the photographs. It didn't matter what angle you shot them for. These were good-looking guys and they had great physiques. Brilliant, brilliant, great figures. You know, narrow at the waist, ripped in the stomachs, that, you know, the shoulders were strong, all had great hair, great looking guys. And I'll never forget outfitting these guys for one particular shot we were taking. And it was all done in tans and browns. Now, I'm not a brown guy. I could wear tan, but I'm usually black. But they had these five beautiful tan and brown golf shirts. Everyone looked more beautiful than the next. You know, Jesse, when you see someone really dressed well for golf, it leaves an impression, right?
I automatically think they must be a good golfer. If you take the time to make yourself look that good on the golf course, you take your time in the sport, I then look at your swing. And if the swing doesn't match up to the outfit, I'm shocked.
Well, here we are in the photo shoot. We took this picture and I am astounded. It was breathless to me. And the shirts were so beautiful. I said to the head of production, listen, when the shoot is over, I'm going to take these five shirts. I'm going to take them, their samples, bill me whatever you need to. By the way, out there, you never take things for free. They cost the company money. They're not yours. They're not yours to keep. They're not yours to give away. They belong to the company. So anyway, I said, I want these five shirts. And I told them, just bill me for them. They said, sure. Because they were samples, and eventually the real production would come in. And I'll never forget, I'm in the Standard Hotel. I have a sunburn, you know, because we're in California for the week, and I'm feeling good. I was in great shape at the time. My weight was picture perfect. And I decided that in my room that night, before we go out to dinner, I would try on the shirts, and I would look in the mirror and just feel good about myself. The interesting thing is, I tried on all five shirts, and it looked like junk. It looked nothing like those guys.
Well, wait a second. I have to ask you this because I think people are wondering. And I say this with all due respect. How much of it was the shirt and how much of it was maybe you didn't have quite the model physique?
Well, of course that's what it is. The point is I was dumb. I got caught. I was watching these models. I'm looking at their faces. I'm looking at their hair. I'm looking at these perfect bodies. They're all 6 feet tall. Perfect. And I'm saying to myself, man, I can't wait to get those shirts because I'm going to look like those guys. And sure enough, I'm in my room And I look nothing like them. That's why you hire models. That's why everyone in television and the movies is a beautiful person. They're beautiful. And I remember to myself when I'm talking at night about being dumb, how dumb I was thinking I was going to look like them. And even if I did look good, I couldn't look like them. And I thought that was funny. You like that, Jess?
It just sounds like that's the reason for advertising. People look at ads and they're like, oh my gosh, I could look like that. And then they're hit with the stark reality. Sometimes the image looks better than the reality.
So I just want to make the point that I too take dumb pills from time to time, and I could be stupid. But this week I got me because I'm on TV, politics, the phone, the internet, ordering food, purchasing online. Seems to me there's a dumb pill crisis right now in the United States, and it's incredibly annoying. I started to think about all these things, but on the subject of fashion. Jesse, I always ask, so I have to do it. Do you mind me speaking fashion tonight?
This is always in fashion. This is what we're supposed to talk about.
You mean all this other stuff I'm not allowed to talk about?
Yes, but I would be very surprised in a show called Always in Fashion that we don't talk about fashion.
Well, common sense is always in fashion. Good thinking is always in fashion. Success is always in fashion. This is a lifestyle show.
You're getting cute with me. Keep it going.
All right. There's a woman named Karen Olberg. I know her for a very long time. She's the editor of a magazine, a trade magazine called MR, Men's Retailer. Always admired her, and I always read her editorials were in their magazine. This week, it just so happened that she did an editorial about the state of the retail business and talked about how complicated it is out there right now. And in particular, the concerns that many manufacturers and retailers have with selling their products off price. And she gave advice to a couple of the retailers there that were really, really concerned that after they liquidate all their surplus, let's remember for a minute, the country shut down for 3 months. People aren't shopping the way they once were. There's a lot of surplus, things that are unsold, and people have to get through them. In business, if you think about it, when you invest in inventory, you take money or borrow money to develop products, you make inventory, and the only way you get your money back or you make money in general is when you sell that product. You stop the system. You own all the inventory. You don't sell it. You have a financial burden, and you have to sell what needs to be sold. So it's a correct conversation taking place about all this off-price that needs to go on. And she gave them some good advice. And I was taken by the article, and I decided to write her in turn. When she began her article, she said that there was a slight difference, recognizing, of course, that she wasn't in the trenches with these folks. And I wrote, Karen, I read with interest your advice to retailers, recognizing you're not in the trenches. You, of course, are entitled to an educated opinion, and your opinion was well given and well done. I, for one, did a show, Some Say Fashion is Dead, I Say We All Need Clothes. With this as a backdrop, I'd like to offer you my opinion. My view, we're in challenging times. The number one goal is to survive. Nothing else matters. All else will be forgiven. After you live to fight another day, you need to survive. I suggest, as Stephen Covey has written, begin with the end in mind. Instead, think of what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when COVID is behind us? What will your strategy be? And when can you once again be yourself? She in turn wrote me back, thanks, Mark. Interestingly, many people I know have lost their jobs and are reinventing themselves careers more in line with their passions. In the same newsflash as my editor's letter, one guy came up with the idea of designer catalogs for dog outfits to be followed by matching outfits for the dog owners. On the other end of the pandemic will be more innovation and creativity than we've seen in years, and it's an exciting time for the industry, and I agree with you, fashion is far from dead. I love your comments on survival and on beginning with the end in mind. Sounds like a great editorial. Your personal example of reinventing your career is truly inspired. Stay well, my friend. The point is I had a good time this week. And yes, a lot of people are wondering, and maybe they're not all so dumb. Maybe they need to think through the strategy and they need to think who they want to be when they grow up. Think of your brand as a bank account. You make deposits, you make withdrawals. People aren't as dumb as you think they are. They see when you sell your product off price. They see when you're in retailers that perhaps are not where they expect to find you. But in the end, right now, when people find brands on sale, you're not giving up the prestige of your brand. You might be giving up exclusivity. You might be lowering the prices where you don't want to go. But at the moment, you have to swim where the fish is swimming. Now, it would be great to be Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton, when they have an inventory problem, as everyone will do, they burn their inventory. They'll burn it before they'll sell it at off price. They have so much money and they make so much money because of the way they protect the brand that they can afford to do that. Because at the end of the day, when you buy something from Louis Vuitton, it should never lose its value. My friends from Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy own the luggage brand Rumoa. You know that one, Jess?
Yeah, of course. It's interesting about them. They look like these metal luggage cases, but they're really not. They're an industrial material, and they're very expensive. They're really a great, great brand. You see them all over.
Yeah, they'll never be on sale because that's their strategy. I love Rolex. Rolex, I think, is considered the finest brand in the world. It goes back and forth between them and Ferrari. You buy a Rolex, whoever you are, it's a gift to yourself, it's a gift to give someone else, and it's a gift to pass down to your children. Rolex is never, ever, ever on sale. And the nicest part about it, you walk into a store, if they have a watch you want, there's no negotiation on price. It's always the price that's listed, and that's a great way to do business. In 2008, when there was a financial crisis, Saks Fifth Avenue took the entire luxury fashion business in their store and put it on sale. Every brand went on sale. Either they discounted the price right then and there, or they said, if you spend $250, we'll give you $50 back, or you buy one, you get one. Whatever on sale Saks Fifth Avenue did to save itself, the luxury and fashion world was up in arms. But Saks did what it needed to do, and whatever it was forgotten. Because you begin with the end in mind, and the end in mind was surviving. So those of you out there, as I said earlier, what do you want to be when you grow up? In this case, what do you want to be when this crisis is behind us? You want to be there. You want to survive, you want to be vibrant, and you want to rebuild your brand if you feel you took a hit. The last but not least, you put your great name on more people because you made it less expensive. And just maybe, if you protect your distribution and you protect your brand, more people will be interested. And that, my friends, is not dumb. I was dumb before when I looked at those models. I'm not dumb right now, but I got to say, the world is taking dumb pills. Take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it. But not in America until Donna came. Donna was a New York life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette. And they all look good against black. Let's face it, we live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning, we do different things. We work, we play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, but footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO, Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant, and I can tell you, if you want to step out and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
And all the stupid things I do, absolutely no reflection on how
I have a profound statement tonight. Is everyone taking dumb pills? Why does everyone seem to be so stupid, so ignorant, so ridiculous, so absurd? Not very smart, stupid. Are they taking dumb pills? Between politics, between business, between everything going on right now, where are the educated? Where are the people who are doing their homework and thinking about what they say? Where are the teachers? Where are the mentors? Where am I? Do I have a responsibility to be more positive right now on the air? Very good question. This is Always in Fashion. This is your host, Mark Weber, with his son and co-host, Jesse Weber. Do we have an obligation to be uplifting? I don't know. I'm frustrated by the dumb, but I'll tell you what isn't dumb. I once read a quote that has tremendous meaning this weekend. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables you to count your blessings. This weekend it's Thanksgiving. We all have a lot to be thankful for, starting with the country we live in. Arguably, someone could disagree, but this is the best country in the world. It's the freest country in the world. We're not perfect. We have a lot to do. We got 74 million people unhappy right now and 78 million who are jumping up and down. We'll figure it out. We always do. This country goes on. Just got to be a touch smarter. But we should appreciate what we have. We have families. We have an incredible group of scientists and doctors who are figuring out how to get us out from under this crazy year we're living. I, for one, am very thankful in spite of having to deal with the dumb. And with that in mind, we got to stop this dumb crisis. Talk to you soon. Good night.
And all the